This podcast is supported by SprintGP, an online racing environment that allows users to build unique teams across multiple series. SprintGP offers a supportive community that rewards strategy and skill. Become a team owner and build your legacy today. To learn more, head on over to SprintGP.com, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and join the community on Discord. Hey everyone, welcome back to Racing to Win, brought to you by Apex 146. I'm your host, Julia Robinson. Hello everyone, welcome back. My name's Julia. Per usual, we have Connor Walk here as well.
Hey guys, Julia, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you on to talk about MotoGP. Now, today we're in a little bit different of a setting. Connor and I are actually recording this podcast from a hotel room in Whistler, British Columbia, because we were here watching Crankworx.
This is my favorite setting to do a podcast. And yeah, Crankworx is legendary as usual.
Yeah, maybe not the most common podcasting spot, but we're making it work. And yeah, Connor, can you explain to people, just in case they don't know exactly what Crankworx is?
First off, Crankworx has been on a two-year hiatus thanks to COVID. But basically, it's a mountain bike festival. It's 10 days long. And we've got anything from kids events all the way to the Canadian Open downhill race, slope style, dual slalom, speed and style, pump track racing, you name it. They've got all the events here, and it's just the biggest event of the year here in Whistler.
Yeah, it was pretty epic to see this weekend. I don't even know how many people were here, but we were here on Saturday and watched Joyride, and it was absolutely incredible just being right there at the base of the jumps and seeing what these athletes can do.
Yes, videos never do it justice, as in all sports, but seeing it in person is unreal, and especially for the 10th anniversary of Joyride, it was an honor to be here.
Really good times, and with that, I think we're going to switch gears, and today we are going to be talking MotoGP. This coming weekend, we have the Austrian Grand Prix at the Red Bull Ring Spielberg. It is a fan favorite circuit. If you look back at the past 2 years, there's been quite a bit of drama at this circuit. We also do have a little bit of a reworked circuit this year. But we're going to dig a little bit into the historical performance. The past 2 years, we've actually had two back-to-back races in Austria. So for us at Apex 146, we have quite a bit of data, which we love. But we're going to be talking about really who to watch for this weekend and why. We're going to keep it short and sweet. Last weekend, after the British Grand Prix, we definitely had quite a bit to unpack there. The podcast, I think, was 40 minutes long. We're going to try to keep this a little bit more concise, just give you the nitty-gritty details of who to watch, who's opposing a threat, and where the championship stands going into round 13 of the 2022 MotoGP season. Now, one of my personal favorite things about the Austrian Grand Prix is the diverse mix of both manufacturers and athletes that have succeeded here. We've seen actually quite a few athletes get some of their first podiums here, but just when you look at the top placing teams, it's pretty darn diverse. It's really not favoring one over the other.
Yeah, and plus the flow of the track is all there. It's got the elevation change, nice sweeping corners, and a couple of little techie sections, so it's always an awesome circuit to watch them race at.
Yeah, and I think that definitely contributes to the diverse set of athletes and manufacturers that are successful here, because it's definitely not a configuration that favors one type of bike. It really has it all. So we've got really sharp corners with extremely hard braking, hard acceleration points, two good sized straightaways, but then also a pretty flowy section with some double apex corners. So it's going to be interesting to see this year who really shines through, because leading up to this race, we've seen, of course, a really mixed set of athletes and manufacturers reaching the top, some more than others, but really just looking back at the British Grand Prix, I can't stop thinking about Miguel Oliveira as KTM heads to their home Grand Prix. I mean, we did see Brad Binder win a race here last year, which was an epic race. The half the people came in to change tires once it started pouring, and Brad was out there on slicks in the rain and seriously looked like he was on ice.
Yeah, that was one of the most notable finishes I've ever seen in a race, really.
Yeah, so KTM definitely usually shines here. We're also going to be hearing the Satellite KTM team members for next year. Hopefully, I don't know if we're going to hear it before the event or during the race weekend, but there's going to definitely be some exciting news coming this weekend as manufacturers are getting pressured to start locking in their riders for next year. So overall, it's definitely going to be an eventful weekend. Like I said, the Austrian Grand Prix never disappoints. So why don't we go ahead and dig into the athletes that we really think you should be keeping an eye on? Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right. So I really do think that KTM is going to be one to watch this weekend. Oliveira is just coming off one of his highest placements of the year. But we also have Binder, who has historical success here in Austria. And, you know, this is KTM's Grand Prix. They go in really with that extra confidence boost. But also, as they're releasing their satellite team this weekend, it's all hands on deck to prove yourself to keep that seat.
Well, do you think part of his historical success is that it's their home Grand Prix and he has the weight of the world on his shoulders at the start gate?
I think that anybody at their home Grand Prix holds a little bit extra on their shoulders. And, you know, whether it's the rider's home Grand Prix or the manufacturer themselves, it's a certain level of pride that they carry going into the weekend, but also just that optimism and support that they feel from the fan base. But on a data side, both Binder and Oliveira stick out in specific realms. And so when we're looking at Apex 146's historical average indexes, so this is looking at all athletes at the Red Bull Ring over the years. Now, let's dig in a little to where each of them stand out. So honestly, not a huge surprise. Neither of them really have a superior qualifying position here, but that's nothing new because neither of these riders are really Saturday riders. They tend to show up on Sunday and pick their way through the pack. So I think what we want to look at more is the efficiency index. This is somewhere that Brad Binder, not only at the Red Bull Ring, but really here, he has the top efficiency index when we are looking at historical averages because he is able to pick his way through the pack. When you look more at like speed and consistency through sectors, that's where Miguel Oliveira really shines. He's able to balance these. And so no matter where he starts on the grid, having the most consistent fast laps out of the group, he's going to be able to overtake and then create gaps. And so what we hope to see for both Brad and Miguel is that they improve their qualifying this weekend so they don't have as much work cut out for them. Because even if you start in the back and you make up 12 positions, that's amazing, that's noteworthy, but that's not going to get you on the podium. So if we can see these two KTM riders get into Q2, which we do not see often enough, they're going to be huge threats for the podium on Sunday. And these two riders also have proven to be able to handle themselves in different weather conditions. And Austria, as we know from last year, can be very hit or miss with the weather.
I agree. That'd be huge to see both of them fall into Q2, especially with Brad Binder having a superior net movement index.
Yeah, when you're looking at Apex 146's net movement index, Brad Binder, historically speaking, falls in like the top three almost every single year here, which is incredible, especially because he is that Sunday man. He always has his work cut out for him, but I'm talking like sometimes his net movement is 13. So for between the flags, he's finishing 13 positions ahead of where he started. Or, you know, even if it falls somewhere around 9, it's huge. But if you're not in Q2, that can only get you so far. So Brad Binder and Oliveira, definitely depending on where they qualify, because that front group is competitive as ever. And so even now, more so than ever, when you are starting in that second half, like, good luck getting to the front. So Brad Binder, Oliveira, two definitely to watch, specifically because of Oliveira's balance between speed and consistency, but both of their strategy between the flags of overtaking. I would not want them to be trailing behind me.
That definitely sounds like a scary thought, having them trailing behind. But coming off the British Grand Prix, Bastianini and Martin sounds like another scary thought.
Yes, definitely. Those two were very competitive in the last GP at Silverstone. They are obviously both waiting to hear about that final factory Ducati seat. So every time they arrive at the circuit, they are preparing for battle and to prove themselves that they deserve that factory seat. Now, Jorge Martin is coming off a podium here last year. So at the second round in Spielberg in 2021, we did see Martin here earn pole position and first place at the end of the race. He was followed by Mir and Quartararo and then Binder for the top four. So, you know, Martin's definitely going to be coming off a confident ride from 2021. They both had really strong final positions in Silverstone. And, you know, Martin, this circuit just clicks with him. And they both have very, very mature riding, I would say, for their age in MotoGP. And, you know, I do think, again, similar to the KTM riders, that qualifying is going to be huge here. This is a really tiring circuit, especially with how diverse it is. And Martin has proven himself on both Saturday and Sunday here, which is not something we have necessarily seen from Bastianini. So this could be a really big push for Martin as they are looking at the factory seats. But I would say that Martin is definitely one to watch for this weekend, especially if he's able to lock in a strong qualifying on Saturday. So we have Brad Binder, Miguel Oliveira, Jorge Martin, Andrea Bastianini's in there just because of that push for the factory seat. And I really think that, you know, obviously Aleix Espargaró has been in the limelight all this season. He did have that really gnarly crash in FP4 at Silverstone. Hopefully he's recovered by now and ready to rock at the Red Bull Ring. But Aprilia has not necessarily been a shining light in Austria. Now, they are clearly on a roll, especially with Vinales. He historically has done very well on Yamaha here in Austria. So we'll see if he can really bring those same set of skills to the Aprilia and see how well he can adapt here. Now, I mentioned in the first place Aleix Espargaró because he is clearly in the running for the world championship title. But the other two riders that we have right there are definitely going to be ones to watch, which is Pecco Bagnaia and Fabio Quartararo. Both of these riders have had great success in Austria. Bagnaia is coming off two wins back-to-back, which is a huge confidence booster. And I know that Aleix Espargaró had mentioned perhaps Bagnaia's success will distract Quartararo a little bit because, you know, everything can change in this race. If Quartararo were to DNF and Aleix Espargaró were to win, he would take over the world championship title.
That's going to be insane if anyone DNFs on the top five of the championship standings.
I know. It's really, really close. And, you know, Bagnaia needs these points because he is really crawling his way back up because he had a little bit of a rough patch there, but he's been on fire. And Ducati, you know, as a lot of manufacturers have, but, you know, Ducati's seen a lot of success in Austria. So I think for these three, if we're talking about Aleix, Fabio, and Pecco, Saturday qualifying is important, but we also have seen that these three riders are really great at getting off of the grid right when the lights go out. And so I don't think that, you know, necessarily a second or even third row start is going to deter them for fighting for the podium. I think that they all have proven to have really strong hole shot indexes. And so Saturday's definitely going to be important. We need to see them in Q2. But especially Bagnaia and Quartararo are going to be fighting tooth and nail because Quartararo has quite a bit to defend. Now, I'm just going to go out on a total limb here. I just wanted to quickly discuss Mir because he has historically been very strong here and his data is very strong compared to his opponents. With that said, his in-season form is not great.
And
Mir's the man. Obviously, he's a, you know, world champion. He has that title behind him. He does not have a seat locked in for next year, and he has really just had a bad batch of races recently. So this could potentially be a turning point for him this season, but I just wanted to mention him because he is a complete wild card. He has really strong foundation here, but the in-season form is just not matching.
He's my dark horse, though.
He's your... Okay, Connor is betting on Mir. Just want to put that on the record. Okay, now obviously there are a handful of competitive riders this year that have either been on the front row with qualifying or the podium at the end of the race, but just data, historically speaking, we're looking at the factory KTM riders, we're looking at Martin and Bastianini, Bagnaia, Quartararo. Connor's throwing Mir out there because he is one of his favorites and he does have great data here. So who knows? This could be a turning point for him. But these are what the data is telling us. Everything can change. This is racing. This is MotoGP. It's the top level in the world. Anything can happen, especially when you're in Austria, given the weather, given the circuit configuration, and we do have a slight change to the historical configuration that riders are going to need to adapt to.
That's right. Anything can happen. And although the historical numbers are there, it is racing after all, and it'll be a great weekend to watch.
I am so excited. And I am also excited to discuss further on this Thursday's Twitter space, because we will definitely get to dig a little deeper into the weather forecast, which historically speaking plays a huge role in this race.
Hey, maybe it'll start raining on the second to last lap again and Binder will just steal the win on slicks.
On slicks. I know that would be huge for KTM to have another podium here at their home race. So Thursday, 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, hosted by Sprint GP on Twitter. Join us, be part of the conversation, and discuss all your favorite athletes as we head into round 13 of the 2022 MotoGP season in Austria. Thank you all for listening. That's all for today. We're keeping it short, sweet, just letting you know who to keep an eye out for, and we'll be back on Thursday, and then next week we're going to be debriefing on what I'm sure is going to be a, in a good way, drama-filled Grand Prix weekend.
Drama-filled.
Drama-filled. Hopefully no injuries. Hopefully we see as many riders keep the rubber side down, but it's Austria and you never know.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Connor, for listening to... I'm sorry, I ranted quite a bit. Thank you for joining.
No, thank you.
It's always fun to have you here, and we will see you all on Thursday.
I will see you then.
See you there. Have a great week, everyone, and thanks for tuning in.